Father, we thank you, Lord, for, yes, God, as we look at these amazing stats, Lord, of just so many people, Lord, just working and students and from every walk of life, moms and dads and families, Lord, have gone out, Lord, to preach the gospel, Father, have gone out to serve and to serve people in the love of Jesus, God. And we thank you that we can be a part of this because it's our family, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we also have an opportunity, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name that even, God, that you would awaken something in our hearts, God, for the lost. Even as we look at the amazing nations, some amount of nations represented at the Olympics, Lord, as we see the nations right here in our nation right now, Father, we thank you that you stir something in our hearts for the nations out there, Lord, for the many nations represented here, and for those that we can reach just in our own community, Father, to start right here, Lord. And dear Father, we just pray that you'd awaken something in our hearts, God, that you'd make a shift, Lord, that you would pay a little sacrifice of taking leave or whatever it is to be able to have this privilege, God, of going out there, Lord, and preaching your word. Father, on even as we come into the word this morning, I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you for this morning that you shift something in our hearts, God, that you show us something, that you reveal us something, Lord, of who you are, Lord, and your design for us as your body. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher, as the one who leads us into all truth, God. We humbly come, Lord, we submit to your truth this morning. And we ask, God, that you would shape us, God, you would make us, God. And that, Lord, even as we come, Lord, we just give thanks, God, that we are able to come to you like this because of the blood of your Son, because of your sacrifice. And we commit this time to you, Lord, and we ask that your name truly be glorified, Lord, in and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to do one of the most difficult things that a shofar pastor can do. And that is to preach something Pastor Fred has preached. So pray. Often, you know, when Fred preaches a very significant message, you know, we are encouraged to you know, bring the same message. And sometimes I feel I must just play the video. But it's this is something Fred preached last week. And I really, it's you know, it's part of the season of celebrating the 20 years and also just giving thanks. And so I just want to say, most of all of this is from Fred, and I'm gonna try and do my best to convey what's on God's heart for us. And let's start with Psalm 95. Verse 2 there. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And right here we get a glimpse, we get a part of God's design for us as the body. You know, when we look around, all around us, and that's one of the amazing things. I know some guys struggle with this in terms of the whole evolution thing and the creation thing. But if you look closely, I'm convinced that everything around us points to intelligent design, points to a creator God with, you know, I don't know, it's just crazy if you look at nature around us. And just knowing that, yes, there's a design and there's a purpose and there's a very powerful purpose in everything around us. And in the same way, we know that God has a purpose and a design for us as his people, us as his body. And he wants us to be a certain way. He wants the body of Christ to operate in a certain way. And we've been actually looking at a whole lot of these kind of things in the past months. And this morning, we're going to look at this specific aspect of it. That is a key to us representing God and us being the body and us operating in the way that He has designed for us to do. And if we see, look at the life of Christ, right at the beginning of His ministry, you know, His mom kind of gave Him that last bit of encouragement at the wedding, and He, you know, the first miracle happened there at the wedding feast. And just quite soon after that, Jesus goes to the temple and He cleanses it, and He makes it very clear that He doesn't want His Father's house to be a house just full of programs and just full of, you know, activities and things where those things become the primary focus. You know, He wants it to be a house, a place where people pray, a house of prayer. And then a little later on again, you know, towards the end of His ministry, He does the same. He wreaks havoc there in the temple. He overturns tables and it's kind of crazy. And again, He makes it very, 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 almost violently clear on this, that he doesn't want his house to just be program and activity and this and that and organizing and making, having a fair and having this and a fundraiser and let's see how much money we can raise. And he's saying, all of that is good, but if that becomes the focus, we have a problem. And again, he says, the main focus is critical. And you know, it's not about the building, it's not about the decor or the lack of it, or you know, it's the house of God, the where the people of God come together, needs to be a house of prayer. It needs to be a place where people can pray and people can give thanks in this specific case. And you know, always a good motto to have is to keep the main thing. Okay, so that's probably what we're looking at this morning. Whatever you're doing, keep the main thing. And so he doesn't want us to focus on the activities and the programs and the whatever we do. The focus needs to be on the main thing. And that is to be a church, to be a body of Christ that is truly the body of Christ. Him being the head and us being the body. In other words, there's a very intimate relationship. Are you really listening to the recording? Apologize for that interruption. Okay, so we're looking at the body of Christ and we're looking at us having that critical relationship with the head, Jesus, and being able to be a conduit of his grace. Having being at a place where we can connect with God in a real way. And connect with God in a real way so that we can actually represent him on the earth. So that we can actually be his ambassadors, so that we can actually, out of that place of intimacy, out of that place of relationship, speak on his behalf even. Okay, so that is kind of the thing that he has in mind for us. And if you look around us, the sad thing is, in the body of Christ, often we're not that. We don't, you know, how many times do we see people that advocate being believers but don't really have a connection with God and really aren't really in a place where they can speak on his behalf. But so this is such a big part of his design, so that we can be a channel of his grace, that we be a conduit. He literally be his hands and feet, and then basically come to that place where he can actually speak through us. And if we're not there, then if we're honest about it, we're actually just another social club. You know, we have great time together, it's fun and everything. We can have great socials and great food. But if we don't have that connection with the Father, if we aren't that conduit, then it's just another social club. Okay, if we look at the often when people ask what denomination is Shofar, then you know I have to kind of explain. And what I normally say is I try to give some examples of that people might be able to relate to. But then I also say we are a New Testament church. So our desire is to get to the place that God's design for church that we see in the New Testament, and to get to what He has intended for church to be like. So that is the denomination that we are, and so we are on the right road. I believe we have many people that are committed to prayer. We have people We are committed to intercession. We are committed to praying. So we are on the right track. And what we're sharing this morning, what Fred shared last week, I believe, is a critical step and a key to take us further onto that road, to take us further into the place that he has designed for us. Now, if we look at prayer, there's many different kinds of prayers, and I'm trusting that towards the end of the year we'll be able to launch the Bible school again, and you can do a whole section, a whole part of the Bible school on prayer. But if we look at some we pray much more often than others. Okay, and the one I think everybody's got handled and got down is the prayer of supplication, what we call. And this prayer is the prayer, and even non-believers are fine with this prayer. They're quite good with it. Even atheists, when put in the right situation, I've heard, you know, there's no atheists on a falling plane, for instance, on an airplane that's in trouble. You know, everybody quickly changes their theology, and people don't call onto Darwin or Dawkins or whoever when they're in a falling plane. They suddenly. And I'm just joking now, but we have that down. A lot of people, anybody that has any clue about prayer, has got the help prayer down. Lord, help me. Lord, save me now. This is critical. I'm in a jam, and we call out to God, and we just cry out help. Okay, and you know what? God intervenes as we call out to His help. Even so often we have people that don't even know God, and God intervenes in amazing ways. So we know that. We know when we're in that jam, we know we can call on the name of Jesus. Okay, so we got that prayer. We got that covered. Are you in agreement? Yeah, amen. Okay. Then the second one that we also find with is the one where we ask God for a specific thing. We have a specific need. And we ask God for something specific. So whether I need a job, I need a house, I need a husband, I need a wife, whatever it is. That prayer of, God, I need. You can fill in the blank. Lord, I need. You know my need, Lord. I'm in this jam. I've got this need. And amazingly enough, God is a giving God. So we see God giving. He's a loving God. He's a giving God. He's a good God. We see even... that God so loved the world that He gave. So that is in the nature of God. He's a giving God. And He responds to our prayers of petition, what we call it, when you petition God for a specific thing. Okay, so those two I think we covered. We do quite well with them. Often I've found if I don't, you know, focus, I come to God with, you know, we have a shopping list. And it's mostly petition and it's supplication. Mostly petition and supplication. And if we look at, if we want to grow in prayer, we're going to have to look at all kinds of different things. And specifically, we're going to focus on one specific one this morning. And as we've seen now with all these mission teams going out, and that's one of the most amazing things that I've experienced from missions, is the partnership between those going out and those staying and praying. And when we used to go, I think they still do it like that, and we will definitely do it like that, is each member of the team would have, for the days of the mission trip, from the first day of travel to the last day when we're back home, each member of the team would have one person per day fasting and praying for them and for the team. So, and we found that is to be very effective. And, I mean, if you look at all these, you know, what is it, 400 and almost 500 people that have gone out. Out of all of those 48 or something teams, there were no serious accidents, no planes fell out of the sky, no hijackings, no serious illnesses. And that in itself is a miracle. I remember going to India 3 times on mission and then chatting to other people, specifically one pastor from, I think he's from Malawi, and he was asking us about our India mission teams. And he was saying, no, they don't do that anymore. They don't go on mission there. It's too dangerous. They've literally had people die going on mission teams. They've literally had people get seriously ill and die. So a lot of churches, scarily enough, don't do missions anymore. It's just too dangerous. Okay. So it just kind of gives you an idea that there's a real... Oh, no, I shouldn't be saying this if I'm asking people to go on missions. But obviously, you know, when we have that prayer cover, it's a different ball game. And you know that every day, if you have 10 people in the team, there are 10 people praying and fasting for you and for the team. And people are interceding on your behalf. But the miracle is that although we face this incredible opposition, and the enemy literally hates what we're doing when we go, and he very actively resists us. At the same way, we can see that as we go in the power of God, you know, there's nothing that can stop us really. But now, so what I'm saying is, it's one thing to cover the missions in prayer and to spend all that time in prayer and fasting. And before missions, we spend some more time praying, fasting together as a team. Another reason to look forward to that. And what Fred was saying is that we should not only spend all of that time in prayer and fasting while the mission team is out, but spend as much time when they're back to celebrate and to give thanks for what God has done. To give thanks for every soul that was saved. To look at statistics like this and say, wow, God, you're amazing. All those lives that were touched, all those people that were able to go out, all those, you know, funds that were raised. And I tell you, honestly, I've never been able to afford a mission trip. And never, ever have I been out of my own budget. It has always been miraculous intervention, and miraculous provision by God. And for us to take the same amount of time to give thanks and to praise His name. But not only just for missions, not only for when we've had an outreach or when we've had the street braai the other day, the barbecue, and it was really such a blessed time of connecting with the community. Not only for that, but every time God comes through for you and I. Every time there's a moment in our lives when we realize, wow, this is amazing. God has answered my prayer, or He's come through for me, or He's delivered, or He's provided, or God has pitched. Every time that happens, we need to stop the boat, pause, stop, and give thanks. And have that focus on giving honor and glory to God. And this is the key that we're talking about this morning. If you and I are able to make the shift of shifting gear and making the shift from kind of just coasting through life and just kind of, okay, that was cool, to a place where we stop and we give thanks. We're going to look at how we do it and when and etc. But if we can make the shift, we are well on our way on becoming spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity, no matter if you've been saved for 20 years or 1 year or a few months, if we get this shift right, we're well on our way. It's such a, you know, it's basically just a very simple courtesy. Makes a massive difference. Okay, so just look at a little bit, some definitions. Definition, thanksgiving is not not gratitude. Okay, gratitude refers to a state of being. So you are grateful about something or you are thankful. And that is not, but that's an attitude you have, which is a good one. Okay, it's a good step in the right direction. But it's not an action. Gratefulness is not an action. Thankfulness is not an action. But that thanksgiving that we're talking about comes out of a place of gratitude, comes out of a place of thankfulness. The Webster's Dictionary refers to thanksgiving as an act of giving thanks, a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. And it's interesting that even Webster's there, it connects thanksgiving with God, which is amazing. It speaks divine goodness, but even if you look at the rest of the description there, it speaks specifically towards God. So that's amazing. But so that's the act of giving thanks. It's a verb, okay? In the Old Testament, it's tadah is the word, okay? And it literally means lifting or extending of hands in thanks to Him. And, you know, so it's literally an act. It's a very, you know, it can be in front of a lot of people or in your own time or place and on your own. But it's an act of lifting your hands, you know, shouting to God, giving thanks and giving in praise. And later on this morning, we're all going to get an opportunity to do that. Amen. Okay, so out of that place of gratitude, which is a good place to be, we need to go forward into the action of thanksgiving and giving God thanks. Now as we mentioned, we've covered the petitions and the supplications. We've got that down. We're quite sorted in that area, but we need to grow beyond that. Okay. There's nothing wrong, guys. There's nothing wrong with crying out to God. There's nothing wrong to we shout out to God when things go wrong and the wheels come off and we're in a jam and, you know, that panicky feeling and you kind of, you know, okay, now I must have quiet time or whatever you do. Come before God and call out on His name. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think what we often find is that as we grow in our relationship with God, the response seems to change. Maybe, I don't know if you experienced this, but you know, maybe I experienced this to a certain extent. When we're newly saved, God answers your prayers like this. You know, you pray and wow, this thing's happening, and you extend your faith and you experience a response, and then it seems like later on, it goes a bit, you know, it changes a little bit. It seems maybe some of us experience frustration because it seems like the response becomes slow, or sometimes it kind of just blank, or feels like there's no response, or there's nobody's hearing, nobody's home, heaven's shut, closed for business, nobody's, you know, kind of all away for the weekend type of thing. And that's the challenge, that we get to a place where we're so frustrated with God, and we kind of need to click this key for us to work through that change. And you know, and this specifically happens when we get stuck in the petitions and the supplications, and we don't grow beyond that to a place of actually bringing God thanks in the way that He requires. You know, if, for instance, you know, if we've been calling on God for a specific thing for years, you know, you've been jobless for 6 months or 6 years, or, you know, you're trusting God for a wife or a husband for a specific house or a specific job, and we get frustrated because it seems like there's no response. Okay, are you with me? And even when God comes through, even when we do receive those things, often they're not really ours until we have come to the place where we stop and give thanks. Where we stop the bus and we pause, press the big pause button and say, praise God, He's come through, He's made a way for me. And we make a big scene of it and we give thanks to Him. So this whole thing of thanksgiving, this is not only a feeling. Suppose it's like love in this case. It's not something that you only do when you feel. It's not only when you all happy and joyful. It's Thanksgiving. This is the powerful place of Thanksgiving, is when we do it out of a decision. It's like when you love somebody, when you can mature in your love, it is just as important for us to show our love for the people in our lives in what we do and how we treat them and what we, you know, in our actions, as it is that we express our feeling. Okay? In the same way, our thanksgiving to God is not only at a place when we feel like it or we feel grateful, we feel, you know, all goosebumpy and blessed. Okay? And this is where the power of that comes in, but we'll look at that more a little bit later. And when love becomes a verb, that's when the real power of love happens. Do you agree? When it becomes an act of love, when it becomes an act of service, or an act of caring, an act of kindness, when that love manifests itself in a way that impacts somebody else's life, it becomes alive and becomes powerful. In the same way, as you know, being grateful is a step in the right direction. But the key is for that to become an action. The key is for that gratefulness to come and become a verb in being thanksgiving. And this is the thing that God requires of us, especially as we grow in maturity. Okay, guys, I'm talking about us maturing in Christ. God wants to see an expression of our thankfulness, an expression of our gratefulness. And that will be an act of thanksgiving. Are you with me this morning? Okay. Let's carry on here. Okay, now let's look at a few
places that we can see thanksgiving comes from. Firstly, thanksgiving comes from a place of revelation and understanding, all right? And as I mentioned, it comes sometimes when we see this change in the way that God responds. So we realize, okay, now the way that God responds to my prayers is different. It's maybe a bit slow. What's going on? Is God ignoring me? You know, was it just beginner's luck? You know, I often think that when I'm a young Christian, you know, I used to, you know, I prayed for people, they got healed, and now there's nothing. Or, you know, was it just beginner's luck, and now, you know, what's going on now? And you know, I suppose it's like when Abigail, she's now one. Okay, she's not zero anymore. She's one, and when she wants milk, now she really likes her mom's milk still. And when she wants some, she makes it very clear. And she moans first. She's got this funny moany voice that she picked up the last few weeks. Like this, you know, she, and then that noise comes, she wants something. And now she's learned to point as well. She's points. And then she points in that direction. And, it's either a little water bottle. She loves water bottles. Please don't be offended if she takes your child's water bottle. She does it all the time. I don't know why. Just please have grace for that. But when she wants something, she will go on and on. She will scream and she will even throw a tantrum. And you know what? At her age, it is still reasonably acceptable. But now, if we go maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, and Abigail wants milk, and she throws a tantrum, it's not going to go down well. You know, mom was going to, and I was going to have to say, no, we're on to food now. Milk, you know, we don't do milk anymore. You know, we do food and we do whatever, tea or some kind of a healthy juice or water, praise God. At least she likes water. But we don't do that anymore. So we've come to a place of more maturity and we don't do that. And so when we see that kind of behavior 4 years down the line, it's not cool. Okay, it's not acceptable. The tantrum or the crying out for something is not good anymore. And when we do ask, when she does ask for food, then she needs to say, please, and she needs to say, thank you. Okay, so, and it's funny how, you know, the magic words, how spiritually we don't get that. In real life, we understand that those magic words, please and thank you, open doors for you, a smile in the right place at the right time, and when you're in the queue somewhere, can do amazing things. Or just a, you know, good attitude and a thank you or a please. And you know what? You'll probably know, and I'll know some people that haven't learned that. Some adults don't get that. And but spiritually, often we don't get that either. We don't understand the key that these little courtesies are. And if we come to God in the way that He requires in terms of thanksgiving and in terms of these little courtesies, what massive difference that makes for us. And I'm trusting, Lord, just for the Holy Spirit will give us a bit of a revelation around that today, that we can get this key. Okay. Secondly, thanksgiving comes from a place of contentment. Okay. Contentment is, you know, growing up to a place where, you know, in the past, you know, we realize that even though we want something so badly, and even though we're so, you know, so desiring this thing or whatever it is, and we're ready to fight for it, and we're ready to do what it takes and go all the way, we realize growing up means realizing that you won't necessarily get what you want now. Okay, that's part of growing up. And, you know, it's the same again with the tantrum thing. If you, I've seen one or two proper ones now. Abigail doesn't do the Drake dancing one yet. You know, where they do this gymnastics on the floor, little ones. There's a good Afrikaans word for that, but I don't know if I'll be able to translate that. But so the children go bananas and they do these funky moves on the floor. And then there's screaming happening, especially in the shopping mall. public area where there's lots of people who can see, and you know, there's something that they want. And I've only seen one or two, but it's very spectacular to see. Obviously screaming, and then depending on the response, the pitch goes up. If there's no response, you know, the volume goes up, and if there's no response, there's foaming at the mouth or whatever is necessary to get what they need, you know. But, you know, coming from there, you know, you get to a place where you realize everybody's walking past, nobody's responding, people are maybe calling the, you know, the guys in the white coats. But at a certain age, people, that doesn't work anymore. And it's the same with our relationship with God. Often, unfortunately, we want to do the same with God. And when we grow up, those tantrums change. And one of the ways the tantrums manifest is in sulk, the big sulk. I know you guys don't do that. But, you know, I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to ignore you completely. You're not getting anything from me. Type of sulk. And that's kind of the same thing we do with God often. Again, I'm sure you don't, guys don't do that. But we ignore God and we say, I'm not going to pray anymore. And then we get the extreme case and people say, I'm not going to believe this stuff anymore. This is just superstition. This is stupid. There's no proof. There's no evidence. Somebody's got offended somewhere with God. Somebody didn't get what they want. Somebody's prayer wasn't answered. And now they're throwing all their toys out the cart. And they're turning their back on God. No jokes. We know that happens. And the scary thing is, in the back of your mind, you know what God has done for you. You know how He's come through for you. You know what He has already done in your life. But now, faced with this, we often get amnesia, and we don't know how to handle it. Okay, so this place of contentment is a very powerful place. It's a very mature place to get to. Okay. We can also call it resignation about to where you're at. It doesn't mean, you know, it means you stop fighting, not because you're defeated, but because you've come to a revelation of where you are at now, and you've come to an understanding. You've come to a place where you have a healthy relationship with your past, if that makes sense. We're no longer fighting the fights of our past. We were no longer dwelling on those kind of things that went wrong. In a South African context, you know, we've had the years of apartheid, etc. And unfortunately, there are still people that, I suppose, the way understandably, but haven't been able to move on from there. There's still people that are fighting the fights of the past. And in this country, maybe you'll still find people that fight. Or fighting the Second World War, you know, they're still upset with the Germans. It happens. I'm half German, so please forgive me for that. So we find this place where people get so obsessed with the past. We get so obsessed with that thing that went wrong, with that war, that place where we got dropped or we got disappointed. We struggle to move on. We struggle to move forward from this place. And what happens is, we get bound to the past. We don't know about the present. We don't have a clue about the future. We're living our lives in the past. We're living in terms of that thing that went wrong. And I've had amazing chats with people that have known God for many years. But when you have a chat with them, it's all about, you know, this is what went wrong when I was, even before I was born, this happened, and then that happened, and then I was rejected there. And you know what? And those are very serious things, obviously. But people are so caught up in that they can't deal with it. They can't move on from there. So they are bound to that place. Okay. And then you get the other side. Okay. You get those of us who we find with our past, but we focus on the future. We dream. We've got dreams and visions and incredible, you know, plans and ambitions, which are all great. But it comes to a place where we focus so much on that, on the next one, or that thing, that we're never happy with where we are now. Okay? and we don't have a place of contentment for this place where I'm here right now. We're always looking for no, you know, and even if we do, you know, take that next step, we're already looking now. But you know what? I should be there, or this is where I should be, or this is, you know, we keep on kind of looking towards the next thing, and we're never happy, we're never content with where we're at. And but that's the powerful place that God wants for us, is for us to be at a place of contentment. Resignation, contentment, being happy and content with where I am now. And it's not a place of complete ignorance or, you know, ignoring reality. It's a place of saying, okay, where I'm at now, I'm not where I should be, but I'm surely not where I would have been if it hadn't been for Christ. Okay? Where we recognize, you know, if I've got a way to go, I've got some way to go, I've got some way to grow and to progress, but I've also come a long way. Okay? So, yes, praise God, I've come a long way, He's done amazing things in my life, and I've got some way to go, but here where I am at now, I'm content with this place. I'm content with where God has put me now. I'm content because He is faithful. I can see His faithfulness in the past. I can celebrate that. And I can know that He will be faithful going forward. That I'm content with where I'm at now. Okay, are you with me? And that's a place of, it's a great place to be. It's a place of maturity. And what happens there is that we learn the wisdom to embrace the moment now. We learn the wisdom to enjoy what God is for us now, today. We learn to enjoy the presence of God here now, this morning. And His purpose for us here right now, today. And not worrying too much about this next thing or the thing behind, but being sensitive to what God is busy with here and now, and embracing that moment. And it gives us, you know, the psalmist says, stop fighting, stop striving, and he says, just know, just be still and know that He's God. And that's a now thing. It's a thing of, okay, let's just shut out all that stuff, and let's be quiet and know that He's God. Know His presence here, know His peace right here, and know His purpose for now, right here. And the amazing thing about that place of contentment is it gives us a reference. Gives us a reference, and we look at our situation, and we look at the place that we are in, and where we come from, and where we're going to, and we look at it from God's perspective. If we are able to stop, and if we're able to find the place of peace, and the place of, you know, stopping striving, etc., we get an incredible God perspective in that place. And from the place of contentment is the place of where we can come into thanksgiving. Before that, it's very difficult. If you're still fighting something from the past, or you're yearning for something in the future, thankful and thanksgiving is very difficult. Are you with me this morning? So there's that place of contentment brings us to a place of having, firstly, being thankful, and then being able to go into thanksgiving, being able to go into the act of thanksgiving. Now, when I'm talking about resignation and being, you know, happy with what you're at, I don't mean don't be without any desires or hopes or dreams. Okay, God encourages us. He says He wants us to aspire to greatness. You know, He says whoever wants to be great. So that's great, and that's fine. It's good for us to aspire to that. But if we have not learned, if you reach a place of maybe authority or success, and you haven't learned contentment, then it's destruction. Unfortunately, we see that with leaders, world leaders, and, you know, nation leaders of nations that have come to a place of power and authority, but have not learned contentment, and it's really just big destruction. And in that place of contentment is the place where we can just be, we can at peace, we occupy the space that God has given us. And the amazing thing is, God can at any time can come in, and He can say what He needs to say. We can share that moment with God. We are open to hear from Him, to be able to get direction you know, to get instruction. But if we, you know, if we bind to the past or the future, we miss God so often in the now. We miss Him, and we miss that place where God can at any time just step into your life and say, listen, I want you to move. Or I want you to change jobs. Or I want you to make a change. Or I want you to, you know, that place of contentment, that place of peace where we are ready for God to come in and say, okay, we need to change, or we need to be changing direction, or we're going this way. And that is such a good place to be a place of contentment. Living in the now. God says now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now it's here. If you look at the... to that later. But we learn to slow down and we learn to enjoy that moment with God. Let's read from Psalm 35, 18. I will give you thanks in the great assembly, the different translations is the great congregation. I will praise you among many people. Okay, so now we see also a different context here. Thanksgiving has to do also with the social context in which we do it. So it's important to do it in front of people. It's important to be loud about it. It's, you know, certain places. And specifically in the congregation, there's a safe place. There's a place where people love and accept you. And there's a place where we can rejoice together for what God has done. But then on the other side, I want to say, are you aligning yourself? Are you surrounding yourself with people that are continually complaining about, you know, just moaning about this or the past or this is not good enough or this isn't great, or but, you know, like I said, still upset with the Germans, still, you know, mad at Hitler, dwelling on that guy that dropped you at the altar or that girl that offended you. Are you surrounding yourself with people like that? You know, and that has got a very bad effect on us. And it's not like the people are bad people. They're just bad for us. Because they just kind of want to suck you into that little heavy place. So there's a place when I want to challenge us where, depending on your relationship with this person, I would say you'd either confront them in a loving way or avoid, avoid them. So as not to get into that same cycle of complaining and moaning and negativity. So that's my advice. Either confront or avoid. Okay, now another place. Actually, let's quickly read from Psalm 50, 13 to 15. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And this is a tricky one, but this is such a powerful place. Another place where that thanksgiving comes from. And that is a place of pain or a place of hurt, a place of tribulation or trouble. And this is what we call a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise. And you know, the amazing thing is, well, I don't know if it's amazing, but the love of God towards us is such that He often allows things to go wrong. He allows things to happen, that the wheels come off, things go wrong, and we come to a place, we are forced, almost forced into a place where we have the opportunity to make a decision about how we're going to respond. How are we going to... what is our attitude going to be towards God? How are we going to respond towards God? And we have got an opportunity to grow up. Isn't that a blessing? So God puts us in those situations and He says, listen, now, this is an opportunity for you to mature, to grow up spiritually. So that's then a sacrifice. So thanksgiving is a sacrifice in that situation. So most of us, if you think about it, most of us have a worst case scenario, or more than one. Okay? It's something we don't want to think about. It's this thing at the back of your mind, what if? And again, you can fill in the blanks. What if? You know, depending on your imagination. But we all have those scenarios. What if this happens? What if, you know, if you're younger specifically, what if my parents get divorced? What if I lose this job? What if this? What if that? What if this promotion I've just got? What if I lose this opportunity? You know, you can fill in the blanks. We all have these kind of worst case scenarios in the back of our mind. We avoid them. We kind of don't want to think about them. For the perfectionists among us, what if things don't work out the way I planned? That's a big one, right? No perfectionists here, okay. What if things don't go the way we planned? What if things go different than what we thought, okay? And what happens then is now you've put out your faith. Say, for instance, your parents are having issues in their marriage. You've put out your faith. You've prayed. You've fasted. The small group has prayed. You've put out your faith, and now it's actually happening. They're getting divorced. The wheels are coming off. And you are in a place where you feel completely, you are entitled. You feel completely entitled to feel hurt and discouraged and disappointed and actually quite upset with God. Okay, do you get that? Where we get upset with God, where we upset with Him, we cheesed off with God. When it feels like He's not responding to our supplication. And then, like I mentioned, we want to do the tantrum thing, or we kind of do the sulk thing. But the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving is in that moment where you feel so entitled to be hurt and to be disappointed and to be all those things and to be upset and to be angry with God. In that moment, to stop and to choose to say, God, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. This doesn't make any sense. I don't know why this is happening. But today, I choose to give thanks. Today, I choose to look at what You have already done in my life. Today, I choose to lift up my hands. I choose to give You thanks and honor and glory and praise because of where You've brought me from, what You've done in my life. And even what You're doing right now, I give You thanks. I don't understand. I don't know how. I don't know what. I don't know what's going to come next. But I'll stop now and I choose to give You thanks. That's such a powerful sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's such a powerful place. And Fred tells a story of a couple that we know that had a baby that was stillborn, if I remember correctly. And it was obviously the worst thing you can imagine for parents. It was the second one. And they were in despair in the hospital. They were at the end of themselves. Basically broken before God, as you can imagine. And then there were just a few people there in the room. And apparently the one guy felt he had a word from God. And he said, I feel now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give thanks and to praise God. And I was afraid saying he was a bit upset about this word, or he was kind of. But the amazing thing is the people received the word. And right there in this incredible place of anguish and despair and hurt and this terrible place, they went on their knees and they started to worship God. Started to praise His name and started to give thanks. And just the power of the presence of God in that place and the healing that God brought is absolutely amazing. But that is what happens. That is what it means when we bring a sacrifice of praise. And what happens then in that place of darkness and despair, when we come to a place of thanksgiving, we come to a place of giving thanks actively, we are making a choice to operate and to live by spiritual discernment and not by the physical things we see around us. Then we choose to step into a different dimension. We choose to step into a revelation, a place of revelation of what God is doing, a place of discernment of what's actually happening, a place of where we experience our reality no longer only in the physical, but we experience and we see our reality out of God's eyes. We see the bigger picture. we see the will of God in the situation. We see the purpose of God. Maybe not immediately in some cases, but positioning ourselves in that place of thanksgiving puts us in a position to see what God sees. Amazing place. And to experience our reality completely differently. You know, and if you're the nation of Israel, and you've just come, you've just been delivered out of Egypt, you know, it's this incredible thing that happened, and now you're at the Red Sea. And now, it's impossible. You can't escape, there's no way out. The army is coming, you're trapped type of thing. And now there's two things that happen. First, some of us get amnesia. We forgot what just happened. That God just did the most amazing miracle. He delivered you from the most powerful nation on the earth at that stage. You know, kind of wiped them and delivered them in a very powerful and miraculous way. We forget stuff like that. Or there's the choice of standing there in the face of this ocean, in their case, this water that they can't cross. And to just stop and to sing praise. Just sing thanksgiving to God. Because He is good. Because He is faithful for what He has done. And in their case, we know what happens. But it's that decision. It's a choice that we face. Now, it's like when you walk into a dark room. Okay, when we were little, some of us were afraid of the dark. But now when you walk into a dark room, I'm hoping. But it's still a bit weird, okay? When it's completely dark and you've just been, you know, it's been very bright outside and now you're in the dark room. For a moment there, it's a bit weird, right? You can't see a thing. Your audio, you know, your senses are sharp. You're trying to hear things that aren't there. And it's that moment where you just realize, okay, no, I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. Everything is fine. You don't run away. You just stop. You just stop. And, you know, it's that place of knowing that God is with us, knowing that His angelic protection is with us. You know, when we come to Christ, we don't only gain the presence of God, we get like angelic bodyguard. Have you thought about that? It's, you know, these high-flying celebrities and government officials always drive with lots of police cars and like this whole entourage and there's lights going and everybody has to get out of the way. It's not exactly like that, but the bodyguard thing, that's there. The protection. God says He will give you angels charge. Give His angels charge over you. But the challenging thing is we often don't activate the bodyguard. The bodyguard, the angelic hosts around us are activated when we put ourselves into that place. I'm not running away. I'm afraid now. I'm in this place of darkness or this place of despair. I want to just cut and run. I just want to drop everything and run. That place where you choose, no, I will not run. I know already, I give thanks. God is good. God is faithful. And as we do that, we see that the angelic hosts are already fighting. They're already defending. They're already out there. You know, like Elisha and his servant, they saw that these armies of chariots of fire all around them, and they saw that those who were with for them are more than those who are against them. You know, that is the revelation we come to. When you're in that place, you didn't run, and you realize, wow, God is with me. He's fighting on my behalf. His angels are already fighting the fight on my behalf. That is activated by the place of thanksgiving. And the powerful place there is that we stop and we learn to discern what is God doing here now. Because I know God is here with me. I know His angelic hosts are with me. But what's the plan? What's happening? What's He doing? What's His purpose? Even in the difficult place. And when we look at the life of Jesus, you know, He says, I only do what I see the Father doing, right? And if you look at the life of Christ, He did some very cool stuff, okay? He did some amazing things. Every day, there was a lot of great things happening, a lot of amazing things. And that's what happens when we do what we see the Father doing. But if we just run, we avoid the situation, we miss that. So this is the place of maturity, of stopping and giving thanks and not running from the situation, not running from the mountain, not running from this impossibility, not running from the darkness, but stopping and saying, okay, Lord, what are You doing here? What's Your plan right here? How do I fit into Your plan here? How do I fit into your kingdom coming right here, right now? Amen. You with me? Okay. Okay, then we want to just read Psalm 100. I have to finish. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And this is what happens when we come to that place of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a sacrifice, when we bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving, brings us to a place, brings us what he calls the courts of the Lord. Now, the house of the Lord is one thing. The house of the Lord is where we come together. The house of the Lord is where the people of God gather. But the courts of God is a different place. The courts of God is an intimate place of his presence. It's a place where the glory of God can be revealed, can be released. And now, we know that through the blood of Jesus, we can come to God without fear. We know that in the blood of Christ, we can approach God just as we are at any time. Okay, we know that. But the challenge is, and that's, I think, the thing what we don't get often, is that when we are infant Christian, okay, just born again, you can come to God with your nappy, just your nappy on. Okay? Don't have to bring anything, maybe something in the nappy. But you know, God receives us in that way. He receives us just as we are. We can come without fear. Okay, we know that. But what happens when we mature in Christ is we cannot come empty-handed. Okay? He requires us to come to express the joy that we have in pursuing his purpose, to express thanksgiving to what he has done, to express thanksgiving and gratitude of the road that he has walked with us to bring us to this place. Amen? So that's when we realize, when I come to God, yes, I can come just the way I am. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to grovel. I can come as a son or a daughter, but I come with thanksgiving. Come with praise, and that brings me into his presence like nothing else. That ushers us into the courts of God like nothing else. And in terms of just something I wanted to mention, in terms of the maturity of coming to this place of realizing, it's, you know, teenagers have this thing of you owe me. This attitude of life owes us something. So sadly, some adults as well. But this whole thing of entitlement, this thing of, you know, the world owes me something, and then you get this big shock when you get your first paycheck and you realize you've paid tax on everything that you can imagine. You know, tax on your salary, and then tax you pay tax. And nobody owes, and their life doesn't owe you anything. So, but that takes some growing up as well. And that place of where we feel God owes us something, or that place where we're convinced that life, you know, life for God owes us something, that entitlement thing, we need to mature beyond that, okay? So we get to the place where we bring the sacrifice of praise, bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and it brings us to a place where the glory of God can manifest. We look at the example, I'm going to read it now, in Samuel, I think it's Samuel, or 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 5, you can go check it out. Then the inauguration of the temple. We see this incredible, massive worship event happening. The guys are inaugurating the temple. It's absolutely mind-boggling. And it's just giving thanks and giving praise to God. And suddenly, bang, God pitches. And the glory of God covers the place like a cloud fills the place. And everybody falls flat on their face because of the glory of God. So that thanksgiving can release the glory of God, can put us into that place where we are delivered from failure and despair and darkness and whatever that place where you're in. That when you bring the sacrifice of faith, that is the place where the glory of God can be released. Amen. I want to briefly look at Jonah. I'm not going to read it now, but Jonah at a young age, you know, God calls, he makes vows to God, he makes promises to God, he says, yes, God, I want to be your messenger, etc., and he says, I'm ready. And then years down the line, when God actually calls, when the call comes, it doesn't come in the way that he has expected it or he wanted it to be. Okay, so God calls him to a nation that he doesn't like. Maybe, I don't know if we still have some nations that we don't like these days. But Jonah wasn't blessed. He wasn't keen on this assignment, and he tries to run away, and he tries to avoid. Now, after he's made those vows, and after he's made those promises, he tries to run away a different direction, and he ends up in the stomach of the fish. And then we see a very amazing thing happening. Jonah realizes, wow, I'm in this. This is a dark place. Okay, this is a bad place. I should be dead right now. I should be dead. I shouldn't be alive right now. And Jonah makes the shift. He comes from a place of moaning and groaning and running away from the purpose of God and running away from the promises and the vows he's made. And he makes a shift and he starts giving thanks. And he starts giving praising God and giving thanks and realizing, well, I should be dead right now. I'm not where I should be, but I'm also not where I would have been, type of thing. And he makes that shift. And we see how God, obviously, God delivers him and the fish spits him out. And he's ready. He's right there at the place where he needs to step into his destiny. That it's in that place that we need to make that shift. Instead of running from the purpose of God, instead of running from the commitment, part of growing up is coming to a place where we understand commitment in a relationship. Where we understand, we don't just cut and run. No, we don't just... When anything, little offense happens, we don't just turn and run. Okay, it's part of being mature, being an adult. Is yes, when we've committed to something, when we've committed to a relationship, we stick to it. We go through the difficult stages in the relationship. We go through the stuff that we don't understand in the relationship. Okay, and that's what place we need to get to, and with God as well. Okay, if you could stand with me this morning, we're gonna. The band can come up. We're going to just take a few moments and we're going to activate and be practical about this. There's a few things I've had in my heart. The one thing, obviously, is for us to make the shift, and for many of us, it'll be a decision today. So, okay, Lord, I'm going to make a shift. I'm not going to dwell in the past. I'm not going to be in entitlement. I'm not going to throw my toys anymore. I want to come to a place of maturity. I want to come to a place of contentment. If that's for you this morning, if you realize I need to come to a place of contentment, I need to come to a place of being able to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. When I'm not feeling like it, when there's no emotions that could point me in that direction, I want to make a decision to worship Him. And then secondly, I also felt that maybe there's some of us here this morning that have, like Jonah, have made vows to God, have made promises, and now it's many years later on, we're not young and zealous anymore, we've got families and jobs and lots of responsibilities, and now it's as if God is now calling us, but now it's not comfortable. Now it doesn't fit in with our schedule. Now it doesn't go according to our plans. And I just feel if that's you this morning, there's a grace to come to God and to be honest with Him, to say, yes, God, from your call, I've been trying to, and I'm getting offended with God. Scarily, guys, there's such a big part of the Church of Jesus Christ that is offended. Sitting outside of church, offended with church, offended with God. Let me say this morning, what Fred was saying is, he says, only teenagers spiritually get offended. Okay, guys, if that's the reality. If you're mature in Christ, if you're in a place of thanksgiving and gratitude, you cannot get offended. Are you with me? And if that's us this morning, if you've made vows, or if you're in a place of offense, if you're in a place of hurt still from the past, today there's a chance to put that aside and to say, God, today I choose. Choose to give thanks. I choose to praise your name. I choose to live in the right now, the here and now. To experience your presence, to be still and know that you are God. So what are we going to do? I want to We're going to worship together, but before we do that, I'm going to put everybody out of your comfort zone. But for sake of time, we're going to do it all together. I want us just to shout as loudly as you can to declare, to give thanks to God. Okay, you know what you have on your heart, whether it is because you are saved, because Jesus has brought you, saved you, delivered you, whatever it is. We are, I want us just to, for 20 or 30 seconds, at the top of our lungs, to give glory to God. Amen. To give thanks to Him. To lift up your arms, like to do your tada, like the Old Testament says, tada, here I am, Lord. To lift up our hands. Maybe this is the first time you're going to lift up your hand in church. Maybe that's good. But to lift up your hands to Him, not to worry about anybody else, but to bring your sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to Him. Amen? Okay. Okay, so I'm going to count to three. And then we're going to lift the roof. Are you ready? Now cover the baby's ears. And then we're going to worship God. Amen? Like we haven't done before. Amen? Okay. 20 or 30 seconds. Just give thanks to what God, for whatever you want to give thanks to. Okay, one, two, three. Hallelujah, yeah! Jesus! I thank you, Jesus. You just saved me, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Your blood is sufficient for me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, with your sacrifice. It's sufficient, Jesus. You are awesome, God. There is none like you, Jesus. There's no one that compares with you, Lord. There's no one, Lord. There's no one that compares with you, Jesus. I give you thanks, God. I give you thanks for your faithfulness. I give you thanks, God, because you're awesome, God. Oh, Lord, you brought us from the pit. I give you thanks, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, John Ray. Let's worship God.